2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 7. The Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us this morning. You pray for your preacher. I don't feel well, so you pray for us. Okay, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I tell you again that we love you. And Lord, we thank you and that for this good day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for the folk that's come this morning, Lord, just to worship and just to fellowship with you and your people. And Lord, it's preaching time now. And God, we certainly need your help, need you to come by and touch us and that for just a little while and that with the power of God. Lord, I ask this morning that you'd help our feeble attempt and that to preach and that, Lord, to where it would go forth and do what you've set it to do. That, Lord, if there's somebody here lost, that you'd save them and that bring them to a place of repentance, God, where they can truly have peace and joy in their heart. Lord, we ask this morning, maybe there's somebody that needs some comfort. Maybe they need some strength and that to go on in this life and that to serve you. But Lord, would you help us now for just a little while? Tell you again that we love you and we thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us so that we might get saved. Help us now for just a little while and we'll give you glory for it all and save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. I want to preach primarily in that out of verse 7. Now, the Apostle Paul, if you look in this chapter, his life is fixing to come to an end. You can see that in verse 6 where he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I believe that he's fixing to come before Nero for the second time, and he knows that he's fixing to go, and that to the chopping block, no doubt. And in this scripture, he gives Timothy some instructions. You look back at the first part, he tells him in that to preach the word. Well, for every time in this generation, it's now that preachers need to preach and that the word of God. At least that's what we've been studying in Sunday school and that what God's word is. Good Sunday school lesson. Listen, God's word is so much and that to the Christian and God's word. Boy, I tell you, you're talking about a light and a fire even unto the lost people today and that to show them what they need to do. But he says, preach the word to be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Hey, preachers need to preach. Teachers need to teach and that the word of God. And so as he was fixing to leave this world, he tells Timothy to preach and that the word of God. If you look on in the latter part or the middle part in that of the chapter, he says, when you come, so he wanted Timothy to come. He said, when you come to me, he said, bring my cloak. Try to get here before winter. I mean, hey, he wanted something that was warm and that to put on. He said, bring the books. But he said, especially bring the parchments. I was listening, Brother Olof, sometimes back preach on this. And he got to talking about how that Paul and that wanted to hear God thunder on Mount Sinai one more time before he left this world. I thought, boy, how true that probably was. He says, you bring the word of God. Not only preach it, but he said, you bring it to me out of where I might be able to read it and find some more of the will of God for my life. Hey, I'm telling you right now, the Apostle Paul, I was in love with God and in love with God's word. I'm going to tell you something to make all the difference in your life. If you'll just fall in love with God and fall in love with God's book, it'll make all the difference in your life. It'll change everything about you. It'll give you a new outlook. It'll give you instruction in your life. And that how to follow God, if you'll just fall in love with God in His book today. Amen. But listen, that ain't what I want to preach on. But he says, bring me them. And then he says, look. He said, Demas has forsook me. Only Luke's with me. And he said, I need some help. And he said, but let me tell you what Alexander the coppersmith did to me. He did me much evil there in verse 14. And he said, nobody stood with me but the Lord, and that stood with me. And ain't you glad when you got to stand by yourself that you'll never be by yourself? Amen? That God will always stand with you. But by way of introduction this morning, I want you to look in verse 7. And the Apostle Paul, he uses the word or the letter I three times. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Now, most of the times when we look at Scripture like that, and somebody is referring to themselves as something that they have done, it would be in a prideful nature. Much like in Luke chapter 12, when the rich farmer and that said, if I had not done all these things, he said, you know, the Lord, he was giving a parable over there about how the farm of a rich farmer and that brought forth plentiful. And he said, what shall I do? He said, I'll tear down on my... And if you look at that scripture in Luke 12, I mean, we find I and my and mine all through that scripture. And he was being very prideful. You find in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar steps out on his veranda up there, and he says, is this not great Babylon, which I have built? And boy, there was a voice, and that came from heaven and told him that the kingdom was taken from him. But let me say right here in this scripture that the Apostle Paul, he's not being prideful. He's not being braggadocious. His life is coming to an end, and he's telling Timothy, he said, I have fought a good fight. Hey, when it comes to the end of my life, I want to be able to say that I fought the good fight of faith, that I fought to the very end, and I never quit. Amen. Hey, there's one thing I don't like, and that's quitters. We get a little tired in the battle. We get a little tired in the fight. I understand that. But you know what he said in 1 Timothy 6? He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hey, I'm not only hurting me if I quit, but I'm hurting all those that's around me. Hey, mom and daddy, if you quit now, it's done too late. You'll hurt your children. You'll hurt them grandbabies. You'll hurt your testimony. If you quit on God, hey, it ain't time to quit. It's time to dig in and keep going. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Man, I tell you, they's playing that song for when the choir come up. I'm too near home to turn back now. It's too close. Hey, it's too close to turn back now. Hey, I've got too much invested to turn back now. I've got you all invested. Got these young'uns running around here that's invested. And boy, what do you think would happen if I just give up the fight? Oh, I know folk would go on, and I know that folk would keep on fighting the fight, but listen, my testimony would be running some of these young'uns around here that love me, and I think they love me, amen. They make me little cards and tell me that they love me, and boy, I'm glad they do, amen. Listen, every now and again, I'll get a card from a big child. In other words, I'm talking about you every now and again. Every now and again, I'll get one in the mail. And boy, you want to talk about helping the preacher. You know what? When I go down there to the mailbox and there's a letter in there that just wants to thank me for being their pastor. Boy, that just thrills my heart. You know what's even better? When my wife gets one. Because some of you ladies decided to send her a letter just about being my wife. Boy, she ain't here today because she's sick. But I tell you what, it's tough being my wife sometimes. She'd be here to say amen if she is here. I'll be honest with you, I try to love on her all that I can, but and she can tell you all about it sometimes. But sometimes, yeah, I'm just tough to put up with. And if you've been around her, she'll take so much and then she'll line me up. Amen. She say, okay, now that's enough. And you know what? And she just learned how to do it. Amen. But Paul said, I've got sidetracked there. Listen, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, listen, I have fought this fight. You realize we're in a battle and we're in a fight. I mean, listen, if you go over to the book of 2nd, take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, this ain't the message. I'm still in the introduction. But take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I'm just going to look at one thing this morning that Paul had to say, but I wanted to get this dealt with. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to look and see what he says in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. I had Miss Bethany go get me some water since my wife ain't here. And she gets me a half a cup. So I guess she just wants me to preach short this morning. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war in the flesh. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting a carnal warfare. Now, we're fighting the flesh. There's no doubt about that. We understand that. But Brother Jeff has talked so well just the past few weeks on the principalities and the powers that we are fighting and that we are against and that is against us. And he said they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, there are things that get in our life that are strongholds, and we've got to get them out of the way spiritually so that we can be able to fight this spiritual battle. And he says casting down imaginations. I talked to a missionary here, I don't know why back, and boy, he'd got it in his mind that someone was going to drop him and that of support, and one did. But he said, I got a check from the other boy that I thought that was going to drop me. And he said, I just got to cast down those imaginations. How many times have we ever got something in our mind and the devil used that against us? Now, we don't know it's true. We don't, even if we do know it's true, he'll still use it against us sometimes. And he said we have to cast down those imaginations. And he'll use our mind and that against us. And he said, to do what? And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. And he said, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Everything that is in our mind, every imagination, everything that exalted itself above Christ in our life. He said, we must bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of what Christ has to say and do in our life. Get it in control and bring it in so that we might be able to fight the fight. Then the Apostle Paul said in verse 7, I have finished my course. You realize that God has got a race for us all to run. The Apostle Paul talks about the race. I believe it is in the book of 1 Corinthians 9. He said, know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Well, just don't run the race lackadaisical. Just don't run the race and that just because you're in the race. Run the race so that you can win. Amen. Hey, listen, when you got saved, you got put into a race. Run that you can win this race. Listen, I don't like to quit, and I certainly don't like to lose. Amen. I don't know anybody that likes to lose, especially in our Christian race. The writer in the book of Hebrews said, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run. Paul said, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course. The race that God put me in, I have finished it. But I want you to look what he said in verse 7. Now he said, I finished my course. When we get to the end of it, you reckon we can say that? You reckon we're going to be able to say with all assurance in our heart that, listen, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course. Paul said, I have done exactly what God wanted me to do, and I'm wrapping this thing up. She's fixing to come to an end. But I want you to look at the very last thing. Here's what I want to preach on today. He said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Through it all, the Apostle Paul never backed up on God and never backed up on what he believed. Listen, can I tell you today that we're living in a day, and I preached this a little bit on this last week, that we're living in a day when folk are forsaking the truth. I mean, Paul said, look, I'm at the end of this thing, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Let me say that, number one, he never forsook what he believed. God took him in Galatians chapter 1. You'll find out that God took him on the backside of the Arabian desert back there, and he began to train him and began to teach him, and then brought him back to Damascus and began to teach him some more. And for 3 years, God instructed the Apostle Paul. How long did the disciples and that spend with the Lord Jesus Christ? While his ministry was what? 3.5 years, wasn't it? So somewhere when he stepped out, those men that spent time with him, they spent between 3 and 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. You reckon it was any mistake that the Apostle Paul from the Arabian desert and the time that he spent in Damascus was 3 years? You reckon that was any accident that it happened that way? I don't think so. I believe that God revealed some things and that to the Apostle Paul and instructed him and told him and told him and that out of the Word of God. How do you know? Because he could go back into the Old Testament Scriptures and he could argue with them Jews and show them where Christ and that was found in the Old Testament Scriptures. What's the one thing that we're taught with? Well, we're taught with the Word of God, ain't we? Listen, we've got too many churches today teaching tradition and teaching what they think and teaching what they think in the way that it ought to be. I'm not concerned about what you think. I'm not even concerned about what I think. I'm concerned about what the Word of God says. What I can prove, and that out of the Word of God, as I've told you many times, it don't matter what I say. If it ain't backed up by Scripture, throw it up and we'll move on. Amen. That book is all that matters. He told Timothy at another time, 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Hey, why do you think we have Sunday school? Let me encourage you to come to Sunday school. You learn the Word of God. Hey, we're trying to commit that the Word of God to faithful men and women. If this thing holds on, there's coming a day when I'm not going to be able to do what I'm doing. There's coming a day when Brother Jeff ain't going to be able to teach. And Miss Jennifer and Miss Christy and Nick, they're not going to be able to teach the Word of God. Why? They got too old. They can't do it anymore. They're out of here. But somebody has got to do it. And so he said, we teach others that they may teach others also. And then not only from that viewpoint, but listen, if the church was to keep growing, not if, when, listen, you ought to be praying about that and visiting, by the way. You ought to be telling folk that you know the child church, hey, come visit with us. Amen. Take you some tracks back there. Take you and that some of them ones that's got our name on the front of it that tells what time we meet and just hand them out. Hey, you know what I say? Look, when I carry them in my shirt pocket, I'll pull them out and give them out maybe to a little girl somewhere, a young man, when we go out to eat or wherever we might be at. I say, look, if you don't go anywhere, we want to invite you to come and visit with us. Does that really work? You won't know till you try. Amen? Try it sometime. See what happens. By the way, the Word of God's sitting on the inside of it. And that's what I'm more concerned about than getting them here. I'm more concerned about getting what's on the inside of it sitting in their house. You see? Because when I can't track them down, that track can track them down. Amen? And get them there. The Word of God. Listen, do you know the Word of God will work without me and you? It sure can. It can work without me and you. But faithful. Listen, we need faithful men and women to carry on. Not only when others are gone, but listen, that they may be able to teach others. We grow to be able to teach. You'll be able to teach in your home and teach your children and teach your grandchildren and those that are around you. But I'm going to tell you, you need to get along with God in this book. Some of the greatest times that I've ever had is just sitting in my study with this book. Just me and this book. And boy, and it come alive. And sometimes I'll laugh, and sometimes I'll smile and thank God. Sometimes I'll sit in there and cry. I've been known to shout a little while and have my hands in there. You just home by yourself, sure enough. And have my hands up in the air. Just thank God for what I've read and what I've seen. It don't always happen that way. Amen? Sometimes I read it and sometimes I feel like that it was just as dull. But it wasn't it that was dull. It was me that was dull. And I've just read for the sake of saying that I've read my Bible for the day and tried to get something. But you know, every now and again, God will breathe on it. And boy, here it comes. By the Word of God, we got to get along with Him. You got to get along with Him and that direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, now I'm preaching on that He never forsook what He believed. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26, He said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Little John was writing because there was false doctrine being told. They were trying to be seduced away and act from the truth of the Word of God. And in verse 27, he said, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Hey, I believe a Christian, a saved person, I can take this book, pray and say, "God, open it to me," and begin to read, and He'll open that book to you where you can understand it. God can do that. But you got to be serious and want to spend time alone with God. When everybody else was preaching and teaching false doctrine, the Apostle Paul kept the faith. Take your Bible and go to, well, just look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just back one chapter. I want you to look what he told Timothy. He said, "But continue," in verse 14, he said, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Are you assured of what you know? Are you sure of it? Why are you sure of it? Why are you sure of eternal security? Why are you sure? I'm getting ahead of myself, but of how you got saved. Why are you sure that He's coming again? Why are you sure, friend, of what that, but why are you sure of it today? He told Timothy, he said, "You be assured of what you've learned." I'm going to go back to you again. Don't you take my word for it. Don't you take your Sunday school teacher's word for it. But you take this book's word for it right here. The faith, what we believe. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But he told Timothy, he said, "But continue, and what you should have, knowing of whom thou hast learned him." Now watch what he says in verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." He said, be assured of where you've learned them at. Be assured where you learned them at. Where have you learned what you believe at? Learned them out of the Word of God. You know, we bring these youngins in here for vacation Bible school, and we pledge allegiance to the American flag and the Christian flag, and then we pledge allegiance to the Bible. And in that pledge, we talk about how that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. Well, I tell you, we're to do that more than just in vacation Bible school. You need to teach them young. The Word of God is what's going to help them. Let them be assured of why they believe, what they believe, and know what they believe. Hey, when everybody else was preaching and teaching false doctrine, Paul said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We're living in that day. Paul had that in his day. Folk was preaching and teaching false doctrine. But yet, at the end of his life, he said, in spite of folk preaching and teaching false doctrine, "I've kept the faith. I've had it right." Preacher, do you believe you're right? Yes, I do. If I didn't think I was right, I'd shut her up, I'd go home, I'd live the rest of this life out the way I wanted to, and I'd meet God somewhere down the road. If I didn't think I could get it right, I wouldn't even bother. If I ain't going to be right, why bother with it? I'm serious. Why? But hey, we ain't talking about horseshoes and hand grenades, friend. We're talking about living righteous and that for God. Amen. When everybody else was preaching and teaching false doctrine, the Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith. When everybody else forsook him and was looking for something new, Paul said, I've kept the faith. He come down through here and he said in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Hey, look, he said, only Luke is with me in verse 11. He said, everybody has left me. They're no longer here. And Paul said, look, though, I'm going to keep the faith. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is. And he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord Jesus talks about how there at one point that there'll come a great falling away. Folk are deserting the faith. I'm not talking about the Baptist faith. Hey, I'm Baptist all the way through to my core. I ain't giving up on it. Friend, there's a reason I'm Baptist. There's a reason I'm independent. King James only. Fundamental. Bulldogmatic Baptist. I believe we're right. Amen. Say amen. If you don't believe you're right, you might as well quit or learn what is right. Help me out here now. How am I doing, by the way? I need some help. Thank God. I'm like Brother Seaton. I'm feeling pretty good now. I didn't feel good when I got started, but I feel pretty good now. Latter times, some shall depart from the faith. What happens if it was just a handful of us in here? You going to keep on believing what's right? Am I going to keep on preaching what's right? Am I going to hold on to the faith if it's just a handful? How about it? Huh? Paul, in spite of everybody preaching and teaching false doctrine, and in spite of folk deserting what was right, he said, I've kept the faith. But then Paul's sitting in prison. You realize that, don't you? What if you're alive was at stake? Now, not anybody else's. I'm talking about yours. The Apostle Paul, he is sitting in Nero's prison over there simply because that he was preaching and teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that his departure was coming. He knew that death was assured of. And here he sits in a prison cell and he says, I have kept the faith. The one thing that he could have denied, the one thing that he could have renounced, and probably would have got him out of prison, but he chose not to. As I studied this, I thought about Fox's Book of Martyrs. And just two that I looked up. And you need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometimes. And we'll get you a copy of it if you'll promise to read it. There was a man by the name of Polycarp in AD 161. And they come to him and they knew that he was a Christian. And they take him before the council and they begged him and that to renounce Christ. Listen, he was an old man. As a matter of fact, we find out here in a minute that he'd been saved for 86 years. And as they beg him to deny Christ, they say, consider yourself and have pity on your great age. Even the judge wanted him to do that. But here's what he said. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? As they led him into the stadium and that to be killed, they said there was a voice rolled back from heaven that said, be strong, Polycarp, and play the man. They generally would have staked him to a stake, but they just tied him to the stake and lit him on fire. and burned him right there on the spot. What if that was us? Would we keep the faith? I often wonder about that, about myself. See, Christ ain't wanting us to die for him. He's wanting us to live for him. But Paul said, I have kept the faith. He's sitting in prison knowing that death is coming. Not only that, Paul has kept the faith in spite of being stoned. You know, they drug him out of town there one time and they stoned him till they thought he was dead. And then the disciples came out there and gathered around him and he got up and walked off. Paul said, I know this feller one time about 14 years ago, whether in spirit or out of spirit, I don't know, but he said he was called up into the third heaven. And he said he heard some things that was unlawful to utter. Paul was talking about himself. I believe that's the time you'll find out if you do all that math out there about 14 years ago is when they stoned him and they left him for dead. You know, if you take your Bible, take your Bible and look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now look at what the Apostle Paul said about suffering for Christ. There ain't one of us sitting in here that's suffered like Christ. And ain't one of us sitting in here that's ever suffered like the Apostle Paul did. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look in verse 21. He said, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Has any of us ever been beat on one time, one stripe, let alone 195 stripes that the Apostle Paul and that received, and that for the cause of Christ? And yet over here, when he got ready to leave this world, he told Timothy, he said, I have kept the faith. All they wanted me to do was deny the faith. All they wanted me to do was quit. All they wanted me to do was not run no more. But I have kept the faith. I've kept what I believed. He said, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. Have I been in the deep? I don't think none of us ever done that for Christ's sake. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Everywhere Paul went, he was in a mess, wasn't he? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold nakedness. I can look and tell you, we're all clothed, we're all eating pretty good. And then Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul made a statement in Galatians chapter 6 as he was closing that book. And he said, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I have suffered for him. And you get over here as he's closing out his life. And he said, the one thing all I had to do was quit. But he said, I've kept the faith. I've believed when nobody else has. He said, I have preached and taught when folk was deserting the faith. He said, even though I'm in prison and I'm in jail, I've still kept the faith. And we struggle to get up on Sunday morning and come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And here's a man that's in prison and he's been forsook. And he said, I've kept the faith. Shame on us. So then somewhere around AD 200, you find a young lady who's 26 years old. And her name is Perpetua. And she's got a brand new baby and she's nursing it. And when the proconsul said that everybody had to sacrifice to idols, she would not. And so they throwed her in a dark dungeon and the guards were so good to her that they let her come out during the day and nurse that child and get some fresh air. But she never would deny Christ. And so when it come trial day And she's before the proconsul again. Her father shows up and he's holding that baby. And he encourages her, not only for her sake, but for her baby's sake, and that to deny Christ. But she would not. And they put her in the stadium again. And they're going to send, and I mean, they've got a whole run of Christians in there that they're going to kill, and the men get killed by wild beasts and all these things, and they send a bull in there to kill her, and it's not going to kill her. And finally they send gladiators in there, she's got a young gladiator that's just barely stabbing her, and finally she directs the sword to where he needs to put it so that he can kill her. Holding a baby, nursing a child. But yet she never denied Christ. How many of us would have done that? He said, well, maybe she should have done that for her child. Oh, no. Oh, no. Christ Jesus the Lord was far pleased with Perpetua for what she done. She had kept the faith. She had kept the faith. John 16, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues, yea, the time cometh, and whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. So what was so important to believe and keep the faith? What are we talking about? You know, the book of Jude tells us over there, at one point, I believe it was, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What did he say? He said, the common salvation. You know what the Apostle Paul believed? You go back and you look in his life and the faith that he was keeping. You know what he believed? You can find one of the very first messages that the Apostle Paul preached in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. After God had met him on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus rolled back the heavens and blinded him. And 3 days and 3 nights, the Apostle Paul laid over there and was praying and fasting, and he had scales on his eyes. And Ananias come down there and prayed for him, and the scales fell off. And the Bible said that he was immediately baptized and received a little meat, and he went into the synagogue over there. And you know what he got to preaching? That Christ Jesus was the Son of God. There's the first thing he believed. The very man that those Jews did not want to have anything to do with and did not want to believe that he was the Messiah, did not want to believe that he was the Son of God. The very first thing that the Apostle Paul preached, that Christ was the Son of God. Seems pretty easy to hold on to, don't it? You know what the world wants you to deny today? What do they hate? What's the world hate? They hate that name Jesus. You can talk about God all you want to. I love to listen to folk talk on TV. And they'll talk about God. But you know what? When somebody gets to talking, two things I look for. They either start talking about Jesus or when they start talking about the Lord. Now I know that they've got some church experience when they start talking about the Lord. I was listening to one girl. She turned in. She had followed this fella that robbed a bank or something. I can't remember what it was. But she got to talking about the Lord. And I thought, now that girl's got some church experience right there. She just wasn't talking about God. She was talking about the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you what, when he becomes the Lord of your life, it changes everything. But you know what else? Stay with me now. Don't let me lose you. You know what else he kept in faith? Hey, not only that Jesus was the very Son of God, the Messiah, and that of the nation of Israel, but he was the Savior of the whole world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. How about you? Have you ever trusted in the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, we're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel, which I also preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Boy, aren't you glad you can stand in the gospel? You receive the gospel, you stand in the gospel. That's what I'm standing in. I'm on a rock, man, and I can't sink. What's the rock? Jesus Christ is that rock. He said, by which also you're saved. Boy, I'm saved by what I'm standing in. And that's that rock, the Lord Jesus. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ had died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 10. He said, but what saith it? Talking about the Word of God. He said, the Word is now even in thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Paul said, now this is what I preach. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple to get saved. Paul said, I've not quit that. You know, there's been men that have truly quit preaching that. Or they want to mingle a little more doctrine into it. Want to mingle in a little bit about predestination, and which, by the way, we are predestined on some things. But they want to teach it as the doctrine of the elect. I guess you might say that, you know, God chose some to be saved and He chose some not to be saved. Now, that ain't true. God chose everybody to be saved. I mean, everybody can get saved. I mean, the Bible tells us that it's the will of the Lord that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? Listen, what was Paul holding on to? Paul, preacher, you mean that's what he was holding on? He was holding on to the very fact that men, women, boys, and girls got saved by grace through faith, and that alone. Not by works, not by works of the law, not by good works that they could do. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said in Titus 3, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. Listen, He said in Acts chapter 13, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, and through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He said, hey, it's by the grace of God that you get saved. And by Him alone. Not by the church. Not by the Pope. Pope can't save nobody. Amen, preacher. Priest can't forgive you of any sin. I always love what my preacher said. You can go talk to a knothead through a knot hole all you want to, but it ain't going to save you. You got to find yourself on your knees and your heart bowed before God. Boy, I'm glad I done that. I was listening to Brother Buster Seaton preach on the old ship of Zion last night. And he got talking about when he got saved, and I got to remembering when I got saved. And I found myself on the altar at a Baptist church. Now, that didn't save me. What saved me was I got on the altar. Now, it didn't matter where the altar was. I just got on it. Be at the back of a minivan, couldn't it, Daniel? Amen. Amen. In an old gravel driveway at the back of a minivan. Whew. I've kept that faith all these years. But you know what's even better than that? That faith is keeping me. I'm not doing the holding on, but it's a doing the holding on to me. Ha! Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Boy, I'm glad I ain't a holding on to keep myself. Oh, but He's a holding on to me, and He's got me. Boy, how much shouldn't we want to say, boy, I've kept the faith. Boy, at the end of it all, He's kept us. Shouldn't we be able to say, church, that I have kept the faith? I may die this evening. It'd be all right. I'd hate it for my wife and my family in this church, but it'd be okay. But I hope I get to live to be an old age. I do. I really hope I get to live to be an old age and be functional to an old age and get to preach to an old age and all these things. But I hope there's never a time that I look back and I can't make that statement that Paul made, where I say, I've kept the faith. I hope at the end of it all that I can say that I've kept the faith. I've believed that to the very end. How about you? Have you ever believed the gospel in your heart and trusted Jesus to save you? There's where it starts at. You got to have that day or that night. And then you get to be like that dear old sweet woman, lady, over there in the nursing home. And even if you lose your mind, he's still in here. And maybe some dear preacher and some dear wife will come by and sing "Where We'll Never Grow Old." And that'll stir something in your heart. Let's bow our heads this morning. Men, as we get an invitation, have you been thinking about quitting? Paul never quit. Listen, you don't tell folk. Listen, there's been times that I've thought about quitting. I have. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the battle gets on and you just get tired. The devil gets to mingling in your mind. And boy, you wonder what it's all worth. And boy, you look and just don't seem like a lot going on at church. And boy, the world's overtaking things and it's getting wicked and I'm tired. But I don't ever want to look back. I don't ever want to look back where I can't say that I fought a good fight. But I can't say that I finished my course. And certainly where I can't say that I've kept the faith. But that all keeping of that faith started one Sunday night, where I found myself on my knees begging God to save me. And he done that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come and asked God to save you? Boy, this morning would be a good morning for you to come and get saved. Go ahead and start playing our boys if you would. How about it? Have you been saved? Are you for sure that heaven is your home? If Jesus come now, would he be coming for you? Oh, but dear Christian, maybe you're tired and you're weary. All the world, you've got involved. I mean, let the world just rob you of your joy. Let the cares of this life rob you of some things. You need to come. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help during this invitation. I thank you for the help that you give us to preach. For one more touch and one more time now to the Holy Spirit of God. It's good today, Lord. They may not have thought so, but I sure did. It's just good to feel you come by for just a little while. And Lord, I pray that you've stirred in people's hearts like you've stirred in mine today. God, you'll give them some help. There may be somebody here, Lord, that's just tired and wants to quit. Let them come and find a little strength. They've got weary in the battle. Lord, don't let them look back and regret it. But let them be able to say, I've kept the faith. I kept on going. I kept on fighting. Most of all, there may be somebody here lost that don't know you. Oh, dear Jesus, let today be the day that they come and get saved. Would you please help during this invitation? For these things in Jesus' name. Keep